y'all doing today? I heard a few. There you go. Everybody doing good? Say amen. That sounds better. If y'all would stand with us this morning as we start singing to worship and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to start out with Grace Wins.
Can read the disappointment. temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my I'm
Father, I thank you, and I just give you praise for this time we spent just lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would move this morning and touch every heart and soul in this building. Lord, I pray for Jamie as he comes and brings the message to us, that your Spirit fill him and guide him and give him the word to speak. Lord, we love you. Thank you.
Same. Can you hear me now? All right, y'all. Kids, y'all ready? You ready? Stay there. I know. I was just making them think they were leaving, and then they had to stay. We've got three of them are already asleep. But if you're in Miss Ellen's class, you can get up and go, and that's 3K through kindergarten, right? 3K. So, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that neighborhood. If you don't want to listen to me and you're little, go with her.
started in Mark last Sunday. Y'all know that? Y'all remember that? He started the book of Mark, and he's going to go through Mark. And the scriptures that I had from 2 months ago that I started studying are exactly what he was going to preach about today. So how cool is God, y'all? That was horrible. How cool is God, y'all? My goodness, I feel like I'm in a seventh grade classroom at Grenada Middle School, and everybody's just looking at me like, oh. Okay, so we are going to be in Mark chapter 1, if you want to start turning there in your Bible, Mark chapter 1. But I want to point you to the board real quick. Normally, I don't really talk about the title of the message, but this time it's really important. The title of this message is Pushing Through, Pushing Through. And I normally don't give an outline when I preach, but I gave you one of those too, and it even has blanks this time. So now you have to pay attention because you have to fill them out. Now, if you need a pen, I cannot help you there. Borrow one from somebody beside you or down the row. If you're lucky, there's one in the back of your seat. I do have a Sharpie right here that I just found. There you go. If anybody needs a Sharpie, there it is. So pushing through. So I've had a lot of people lately telling me a lot of different stuff about how life is going and whatnot, just things going on in their life. And they were like, man, I'm just ready to quit and ready to give up. Anybody ever get to that point? Just one person. All right, that's good. So let's try something else. Okay. Anybody ever feel like you're just awesome and everything's going great and nothing ever goes wrong? Okay, just one person. All right. Anybody live in between? Okay, I knew I'd have to get you at some point. Good grief. Okay, so the thing I've been talking to a lot of people about is they say, man, I'm just so busy all the time. I just don't have time to do anything. And I started thinking about our schedule at home. Okay, our schedule at home. And I got to think, you know, we get up in the morning, we get ready, we're in a rush, we get the kids to school, we drop them off at school, and then we do our daily routine at work. And y'all know how stressful it is at work, right? So we go through that whole thing, and then as soon as work is over, we got to take Caroline to dance. Somebody's got to go. Normally we go work out, and then after that we got to go pick up David. Then we got to get, you know, dinner ready and all that. We got to get him bass. We got to get him ready for bed. We got to read devotions. We got to pray, all that stuff. At some point we have to wash clothes in there too. We have to clean the house, clean the kitchen, stuff like that, right? That's just a normal everyday thing for everybody. Y'all agree with that? Okay, so now let's throw something extra in there. On top of that, you're a Sunday school teacher. On top of that, they called you and asked you to start teaching on Wednesday night. On top of that, they called you and asked you to clean the chairs after everybody leaves on Sunday, you know, the bulletins and everything, and pick those up. And so you're already busy. You're already rolling. You're like, man, I just can't keep going. I'm done. I'm through. I don't have the stamina for this. I've got to let something go. And what's the first thing we normally let go? Yeah, I heard it like five times. Yeah, church, Sunday school, whatever it is that you're doing, that's the first thing we let go because that's the easiest thing to let go of because all the other stuff we have to do. Amen? Don't say amen to that. So, I got to picturing this big old rock and this guy just pushing a rock. And I think a lot of us are at that point in our lives, because I've talked to a lot of you about this, actually, like in the last week. It's been crazy how many people have come and said, man, I'm just ready to quit. I'm ready to quit my job. I'm just ready to quit trying because I'm tired. I just can't keep up with it anymore. I'm just done. But not everybody is pushing a rock because of that. Some of you are pushing an emotional rock. You're just having emotional troubles, things going on. Some of you are pushing a physical rock. You've just got stuff going on with your body, and you just feel like you're pushing a rock. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. It's just sitting right there, about to fall on your head and squash you. Some of you have a spiritual rock, man. You know the Lord. You've prayed. You've gone to church. You know, you do all these things, but you just feel like you're in a rut. Anybody ever get in a rut? Absolutely. We all get in a rut. And some of us are there right now. We're just pushing that rock, man. We're like, man, I don't even know what the point of praying is. I don't hear an answer. Nothing's happening. We're just going on every day, and it just is what it is. And I'm just tired of pushing this rock. And you're just right there at that place that you're like, man, I'm done. And some of you are pushing other rocks. You know what your rock is, but you feel like the space to get it through is this big, and the rock is this big, and you keep pushing, and nothing happens. And so I thought, you know, I was like, man, I wonder if Jesus was busy during his time here. How many of y'all think Jesus was busy just on a daily basis? Not overall, but every day. Okay, most of us, right? So when we think about Jesus, we think about him walking somewhere, him getting there, him preaching a little bit, him healing a little bit, right? That's kind of what we think of. So what we're going to do, we're going to run through just one day in Jesus' life real quick to kind of get an idea of what he had going on. So in Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 29. And to give you a little background as to where he has arrived at Capernaum. He's gotten to Capernaum, and it tells us in verse 21 that as soon as they got to Capernaum, he went straight to the synagogue and started preaching, okay? So there's number one. As soon as he gets there, he starts preaching. So verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So let's check this out real quick. So Jesus gets to Capernaum. As soon as he gets to Capernaum, he goes straight to the synagogue and starts teaching. Now, we don't know how long that lasted, 3, 4, 5 hours, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then it tells us as soon as he left the synagogue, he goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house. And when he gets there, she's ready to cook him some food and give him something to eat, but they can't because she's sick. And if you read Luke's account of the same story, it says she had a great fever, which means she was really sick, like she was probably going to die sick. And so as soon as Jesus walks in and he sees that she's sick, you know, he did what every good son-in-law would do, because the mother-in-law is about to cook some awesome fried chicken. And they're like, oh, no, I want my lunch. I'm hungry. So he goes over and he heals her, right? Because he wants to eat, not because he actually likes her. It was just because he wanted to eat. And I was just actually seeing if y'all were paying attention. There's like six people listening. Like six people. I'm totally kidding. Of course, Jesus healed her because he loved her. So he goes over and he heals her. As soon as he does that, they eat whatever they do. And then as soon as the sun sets, did y'all hear what it said? The whole town showed up at their door. Capernaum had about 1,500 people. Y'all ever entertained 1,500 people before at one time? Just you. You're the only one, 1,500. Anybody? Going once, going twice? Nobody. Anybody ever entertained 1,000 people at one time? Going once, going twice? Nobody. Anybody entertained 500 people at one time by yourself? Going once, going twice? Only the ladies in the front. Anybody, 250, 250, one person, 250, 150 people at one time, 150, okay, 100 people at one time. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Do y'all know how long it would take to heal and drive out demons in 1,500 people? Can you imagine 1,500 people coming to your door and you're having to pray for each one of them and talk to each one of them and heal each one of them and drive out demons in each one of them? Can y'all imagine how long that took? Can y'all imagine how tired Jesus was after that? Tired. Absolutely. So he goes through all that day teaching at the synagogue, healing Peter's mother-in-law. The whole town shows up at the door. He heals him. He does all that. That's cool. It's probably 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night at this point. And then let's keep going in the story in verse 35. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And he was praying there. Simon and his companions went searching for him. They found him and said, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. So he went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So I want y'all to hear this real carefully, okay? So Jesus teaches, he heals all day long. And it says very early in the morning, in other words, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he gets up and he goes out into a deserted place and he starts praying. Now, how long did he pray? It doesn't say exactly, but it was long enough that all the disciples woke up, realized he was gone, and had to go search for him. Now, was he sitting down the road or was he out in a deserted place somewhere? Very good. Thank y'all. Deserted place. So it took him a while to get to him, right? So we know Jesus was praying for about 4 or 5 hours at that point. Okay? Anybody ever prayed 4 or 5 hours straight without stopping? Couple people, that's about right, you know. That's a long time to pray, y'all. I fall asleep. I'll just be honest. I'd be like 30 minutes into the prayer and wake up 4 hours later. And I would say, God, it's intent that counts. I intended to pray, and I fell asleep. But since I intended to pray, I get 4 hours credit. Amen? I got a not so much. Not really. Okay, y'all, so this is what I want you to see from this story, all right? Was Jesus busy? Oh, my goodness, yes. He was worn out. Are we busy? Oh, my goodness, yes. We're worn out. So what did Jesus do to get his strength back up and revitalize himself? That's right. He went to the only one that could provide him that strength, and that was his Father. He went out and he prayed. So when he got tired, he got up early and went out and prayed. How many of y'all, when you get tired, hit the snooze button? Y'all are telling a story in church. I know it's more than that. I'm going to try that again. How many of y'all, when y'all are tired, hit the snooze button? How many of y'all hit the snooze button this morning? Thank you. Thank you for being honest. So, but Jesus didn't. He got up early. He went out and prayed, and he got his strength back, okay? So the question is this. I know a lot of times when we talk about Jesus, this is what I always hear. Well, Jesus was God's son, man. He could do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I can't do stuff like that. I'm not God's son. Well, last time I checked, when you get saved, you were God's son, but that's a different message for another day. But I said, okay, I'll take that. But here's my answer. Here's my answer for that. Yes, Jesus was God's son, but he was also fully human, right? Amen. He got tired. Y'all know what makes you more tired, running a mile or thinking all day long? Thinking all day long. Can y'all imagine waking up in the morning and knowing everybody's thoughts? Knowing what everybody, if I knew what y'all were thinking right now, I'd probably leave. I've seen 13 people look at their watch, hoping I would hurry up and shut up already. Actually, 4 people looked at their watch when I said that. That's the funny part. They're like, man, I forgot to look. Golly, what time is it? So look, guys, here's what I'm getting at. Jesus was fully human. He was tired. He was emotionally exhausted. He was physically exhausted. He was mentally exhausted. And the way that he kept going so that he could push that big old rock out of the way was by getting up early and praying. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Does the Bible tell us how we can do it? And the answer, of course, is yes, it does. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I hear pages turning. I'll give you a second. So what we want to know is if Jesus revitalizes himself by getting up early and praying, then how do we survive every day? How do we sustain where we are? And how do we draw closer to him? Because when you get tired, are you thinking about drawing closer to the Lord or just making it through? Let's be honest. Talk to me. That's right, just making it through the day, y'all. How many of y'all, give me a little crowd participation here. How many of y'all oftentimes just try to make it through the day? Put your hand up. How many of y'all, if you're Ole Miss fans, just try to survive the game? How many of y'all, if you're Mississippi State fans, just said, we give up? Which I don't blame you, I would too. So, no, I can't talk. I'm pretty sure we're last in the West right now. So, let's have a moment of silence for all Mississippi teams. Okay, now, we're all Alabama fans. All right. That made Brother Johnny happy, but nobody else. So here's what we want to know is how do we do it, okay? How do we do it? And Paul is going to tell us in Philippians. Now, the thing you need to know about Paul is he is actually imprisoned when he writes this book, okay? He walks around every day in chains. Got chains around his arms, chains around his legs. He's in chains every single day. Yeah, he's living in his own place, but he has a Roman guard that guards him all day long, every day, and he is in chains. And this is what he writes. We're going to start in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So the first thing Paul tells us to do is what? What's the word? Rejoice. Thank you for the one person that's listening. Okay, try it again. The first thing that Paul tells us to do is what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Thank you. He tells us to rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord when things are good. Amen? No. He says, rejoice in the Lord when things are bad. Amen? Okay. He says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. No. When does he say to rejoice in the Lord? Always, y'all. That word is so important. If you're a person that writes in your Bible, highlight that word, underline that word, circle that word, put a star by that word, whatever it is that you do in your Bible, that's what you need to do, because he says, rejoice in the Lord always. That means when things are good, when things are bad, when things are just kind of going, you rejoice in the Lord. Now, he also does something else right here that's really important. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. If he says it twice, you think he was just having a stuttering moment there when he was writing with his hand, or you think it's important? It's important. He says it twice because this is something that a lot of us struggle with. Amen? This is something that a lot of us struggle with because it's hard to rejoice in the Lord when everything seems to be going the wrong way. You know, when 6 or 7 doctor bills come in at one time that you weren't expecting, and you've already paid the bills for the month, and then you get the collections letter in the mail saying that they've sent you the collections on the other one that you've owed for 6 or 7 months because you can't catch up. And then the daycare calls and says, you can't bring your kid back anymore because you owe us $1,500. I'm sorry. And then on top of that, you get a call from your boss that says, look, we've eliminated your position. You can just stay home now, and you lose your job. And then you come to church and nobody really speaks to you at church. You just kind of sit there. The pastor preaches whatever, and then you just go home. You know that kind of time? When things are awful and everything's against you, what does he say? Rejoice. Easier said than done. But if he said it, and he's in chains, y'all, he is in chains. How many of y'all walk around in chains every day? Nobody. No, you don't. He says, rejoice. If Paul can rejoice, so can we. The next thing he says is, let your graciousness be known to everyone. And if you have another translation, it'll say, have a gentle spirit or have an appropriate spirit. So what Paul is telling us here is, in every situation, we should have an appropriate spirit. And y'all, that's really important, because how many of y'all, when you get cut off on the road, go to flipping people off? Nobody. I was hoping I'd get somebody, for real. Somebody won't be thinking and just throw that hand up in the air. We got fingers pointing all over the place. Don't turn around and look. So, that's right. People cut you off, man. You get mad, or you go to buy a new car, and the guy's like, man, yeah, I'll give you $1,000 for that little piece of junk you brought up here. And what do? You go to hollering at him. Man, that car's worth $5,000, you know, right? Because that's what we do. We go to McDonald's, and they don't do it our way because they're supposed to do it our way. They gave us mustard instead of mayonnaise. What do? We go back. Were you an idiot? That's why you work at McDonald's right now, because you're stupid, couldn't get out of high school. That's how we act, but that's not y'all know that's not the truth, right? That's not the truth, but that's how we act. We get mad about stuff. You know, they call you on the phone, and they're like, oh, look, you owe us this money. What do? You go to hollering at them. But Paul says, have an appropriate spirit at all times. So in other words, what Paul is telling us is this. If we'll rejoice in the Lord and stay calm. Amen. Stay calm. That the peace of God will be with us. That's another hard one. The next one might be my favorite one. Verse 6, he said, don't worry about anything. Y'all know what worry means? Anybody? Got Webster's definition? A lack of trust in Jesus, absolutely. Is that what you were going to say? Good job. So if you look the word worry up, it actually means anxious. And what the word anxious means is this. It means a mind divided. Now, y'all watch this now. A mind divided between what? Legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. So if you worry, you are literally tearing your mind in half between things that are legitimate and things that are destructive. What happens when you worry? Anybody get a headache? Neck start hurting a little bit? Get a migraine? Got to go to bed? You just can't do anything anymore because you're worrying about everything? Y'all know those people that, like, the kid stands up and they're like, oh, don't fall. Because they worry about everything. Y'all know those people, right? I know none of y'all are, but y'all know those people, right? You don't know anybody like that? I bet you do. So, what he tells us to do, he says, look, stop dividing your mind and pray about it. But then he also says, through prayer and petition. Y'all know that's two different things, right? Prayer is not, Lord, would you bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so, and God, if you don't mind, send me a few bucks along the way, and I sure could use a new job, and if you could, do this for me and that for me, right? That's not what prayer is. If you look up prayer, it means worship. So when the Bible says prayer, it's telling you to worship God and through petition. So after we worship God and praise God, that's when the requests come in, okay? But he says do it with thanksgiving. Any of y'all ever pray negative prayers? Two people in the whole congregation. Y'all are Lord, I can't believe you're doing this to me right now. I wish you would just leave me alone and go find somebody else to test because I'm about to lose it. Nobody's ever prayed that. So at this point, we're going to have an altar call. And repentance will be the key phrase. Come on, guys. We've all done it, right? We've all done it. But he says when you pray, pray with thanksgiving. In other words, Lord, I don't know the answer yet, but I know you do. And I give you praise ahead of time because I know you're going to answer this prayer. I know you're going to take care of this problem. I know you're going to provide when the time comes. Okay, so that's what Paul tells us to do. So first we have rejoice. Then we have an appropriate spirit. And then we have pray and don't worry. And then we get into this really long list. And we're going to spend just a couple of seconds on this list. Because I want you to know what each one of these words mean. I think it's very important for you to understand where we're going to end up in this message. So first he says, he's telling us to focus on these seven things. And he says, whatever is true. Truth is something that is not concealing. Not concealing, if you're following along on your outline. Truth is not concealing. So guys, let me put it to you like this. If you're having to hide something from somebody, is it truth? If you're having to tell half truths, is it truth? You know, that's like the boss comes down and they're like, hey, look, I had a parent call and said you called him an idiot. Did you call him an idiot? Well, no, I didn't call him an idiot. I said, you know, it was more like they could be an idiot if they continued saying the things they're saying. Nobody else has done that. Nobody. No, y'all don't call people idiots. That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot. Y'all know somebody that's done it, though, right? Okay, right. So truth means not concealing. Now the second one, he says, whatever is honorable. So what is honorable? Honorable is respectable. So we should be focusing on things that are true and things that are respectable. Now y'all are probably starting to see where I'm going with this in just a second. Then he says, whatever is just. Just means holy, innocent, and righteous. So we should be focusing on things that are holy, innocent, and righteous. Then he says, whatever is pure. Pure means clean. Here's that word innocent again. And perfect. He says, whatever is lovely. Now, lovely means pleasing. In other words, you like flowers. You go look at flowers. Y'all know the feeling that it gives you when you look at them, that pleasing feeling. We should be focusing on things like that. Then he says, whatever is commendable. And commendable means well spoken of or reputable. So there we go back to the respectable, reputable word. So something that's well spoken of. And then we have, if there's any moral excellence and anything that is praiseworthy. Moral excellence meaning virtue and valor. And I love, don't those words just do something when you say, I think of a soldier when I think of those words. Virtue and valor. And praiseworthy means commendable. So there's the commendable word again. So y'all see how all these seven things work together? Do y'all see that? So now here's what I want you to do, and this is very important before we get to the last part. I want you to look at this list of stuff you just wrote down, okay? And before we started, I was going to have you go back and write your own daily schedule out, okay? But we didn't get there, so I just want you to picture real quick in your mind or just think about your daily schedule, the things that you do on a normal day. Okay? And now I want you to look at this list that we just went through. And I want you to think to yourself, in your mind, not out loud, does my schedule match up with this. Does my schedule match up with this? Am I doing things that are honorable? Am I doing things that are just and pure and lovely and commendable? Am I doing things that would portray moral excellence? Am I doing things that are praiseworthy? Am I focusing on things that are true? So think about your daily schedule, match it up to this, and if it doesn't match to this, then we got some work to do, right? And that's okay, right? Because that's what the Christian life is about. So when I was studying this message and I looked at that, I went, man, that hurts. And I started thinking about some different things because, you know, like if Ole Miss was playing on TV and we were doing something else, then I'd be like frustrated the whole time because I couldn't watch the game. And I don't know, we lose now, so I really don't care anymore. And so I got to thinking last night, you know, we were doing the whole trick-or-treating thing and all that and walking around and whatever, and Ole Miss was playing. I was like, you know what, I'm not going to get my phone out. I'm not going to check the score. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to have fun with my kids. Okay? So as you go through this week, this is what I want you to do. I want you to literally, when you sit down and you start doing stuff, you know, you pull the phone out, you get on Facebook, you start playing games, or you're watching a TV show, or whatever it is that you do when you get home, I want you to think about this list, and I want you to go, you know what, if Jesus was sitting here right now, would he be cool with this? Am I drawing closer to the Lord right now? Is this giving me an atmosphere of peace? Is this bringing the peace of God into my life? Now, does this mean you have to change everything you're doing? Absolutely not. Is entertainment okay? Yes, guys, entertainment is okay. Please don't take it that far, okay? But this is what I'm telling you. A lot of the stress that we have, a lot of the reason that we're pushing rocks in our life is because we put the rock in front of us. God didn't put the rock there. We put it there. And now we're trying to push it out of the way, and if we would just realize all we got to do is take a step back and walk around the doggone thing, we don't even have to push through it. You see, we put these blocks in our life from between us and God and us and a stress-free life, so to speak, not realizing that we're the ones that did it. We'd like to blame the devil. The devil's just really on me right now. Well, I mean, you know, if you want to call yourself that, that's fine. But we're the ones that do it to ourselves. Miss Debbie caught that. Nobody else did. We're the ones that do it to ourselves. Okay, y'all with me? Give me one of these, 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 anything. Okay, all right, so 65% of y'all are awake. Now here's the end, guys. This is what it boils down to. How were Jesus and Paul able to keep going the way that they did? Y'all know Paul preached all night one time, like to the point somebody fell off the balcony and died because they fell asleep. That's in the Bible. Y'all know that? True story. And then he went over and was like, I'm sorry, man. Here you go. Come back up. And he raised him back to life. True story. It's in the Bible. Okay? How did he keep going? Y'all, I get tired after I sleep like 7 hours and 3 hours into the day. I'm exhausted. I'm like, man, I'm so tired. Good grief. Okay, how did they do that? How did Jesus do that? And the answer is very, very simple. They were on mission. They were on mission. Paul knew why he was in chains. He knew why he was in Rome. He knew his purpose of being there, and he was able to keep going. Now, I want you to think back to Jesus' response in Mark chapter 1. The disciples are looking for him, right? He's out praying. He's getting revitalized. They look for him. What did the disciples say? Do y'all remember? Okay, no, you don't remember. All right, so this is what he said. The disciples come up and they say, everybody's looking for you. The whole town's looking for Jesus because he's so popular and he's healed all these people and they want to see him. They want to talk to him. They want to have a part of him. And this is Jesus' answer. He doesn't say, okay, guys, let's go back, set us up a theater. And yeah, we'll get down. We'll get some folks to sing some songs and then I'll get up and preach and everything will be great. People will come down and get saved. He doesn't say that. This was his answer. And this is very important, y'all. He says, okay, let's get up and go to the next town. Because that's why I'm here. That was his answer. He didn't get caught up in all the junk. He didn't get caught up in all the crap and all the stuff. Excuse my word there. He didn't get caught up in all that. He knew what his mission was. He was there to preach to Capernaum, and now he was there to go into Galilee and preach to them. And that's what he did. He got up and did that. So how was Jesus able to keep doing what he did? He had a very clear mission and purpose in line, and he never took his eyes off of it. And so the question I have for you right now is, what are you looking at? You looking at the rock, or are you looking at your purpose? But an even bigger question than that is, do you even know what your purpose is? Because, guys, we get so busy and we really feel like God's calling us to do something. Like, man, I really feel like I need to be a small group leader. I just don't have time because, you know, Wednesday nights, man. And this is a true story, y'all. On Wednesday nights, we would work out after school and I would stink after workout. And so I didn't want to come to church because we didn't have a shower and we lived too far out. By the time we got home and got back, church would be over. So I was like, well, we just don't go on Wednesday nights because of that. And then, y'all, one day I was sitting there and it was like God went, you know, you idiot. Work out on Tuesday. Oh, man, I changed my workout routine, God. That's a hard one. I would have never thought of that on my own. But, y'all, is that not what we do? We tell God we don't have time to do stuff, and he's calling us to do it. He's saying, I want you to be a small group leader, or he's saying, I want you to help drive the van, or I want you to come pave the parking lot, or whatever. Y'all, there's so many things that can be done. I want you to come clean the toilets, whatever it is. And God's leading you to do it, but we're scared to step out and do it because we're scared we're just way too busy. The rock's in front of us and we can't push through. And if I take on that responsibility, you know, I won't be free anymore to do what I want to do. And if we need to miss a Sunday, I won't be able to miss, or miss a Wednesday, I won't be able to miss. And we're scared to take on that responsibility. But here's what I'm here to tell you. If you don't know your mission and your purpose, you're wasting your life anyway. If you're not following the mission and purpose that God has set out for you, it's a waste. Now, I know that's hard and I know that's tough, but I promise you, this preached to me way before it preached to y'all. I promise. This one will slap you in the face, guys. It will. And so, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is Miss Kim, y'all, come on. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know that there are people in here today that don't have a relationship with Christ at all. And so the first thing I want to tell you is this. If you really want peace in your life, you really want all the stress and worry to relieve itself, the problems won't go away. But he will sure give you peace in the midst of struggles. So if you don't know him, now is a better time than any to take that step. For those of us who do have a relationship with Christ and we're just at the point right now where we're like, man, I just do everything at the church. I feel like I'm the Sunday guy, I'm the Wednesday guy. They call me during the week and I do this and that and this and that. And you're just tired, you're worn out. You don't think you can keep going because you don't have the strength. This is what Jesus is telling you today. Look, if you will just pray to me, focus on the things that I have laid out for you. Focus on your purpose and on your mission. I will give you peace like you have never known before. Now, some of you, God is leading you to take on a ministry at church, be it Christ Community or somewhere else. And you just kind of been fighting with it. And I tell you today that you want your life to be fulfilled. Step out and do it. Step out and do it. Lord, I'm busy, but I know I can take things out of my schedule that shouldn't be there anyway. Father, we come to you right now in the only name we can pray, and that's Jesus' name. And we thank you for your love and your grace. God, we thank you that you love us through everything. The crazy things we do, the silly things we do, the good things we do, Lord, you love us. And God, I thank you that you care enough about us to give us a mission and a purpose in life. And I pray for each person in this place, Lord, that wherever they are, whether it's they don't know you at all, or they're just tired from working so much, or they know they need to step out, I pray that they would do that right here and right now. And Father, as they sing this song, I pray that you would just speak to the hearts of each one in this room. Father, I thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, as they sing, y'all just take this time to pray. Talk to God. All right, if the ushers will go ahead and come up. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. I do pray that somebody in here today got something out of this that they go, you know what? That's it. I need to move on. I need to keep going. I was ready to quit, but not anymore. I'm ready to fight. Because that's what it's all about. What a great song, man. God just does this stuff. You know, I didn't ask him to sing that. How cool is that? Y'all bow your heads and let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word and all that you are and all that you do, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for each person in here. I pray this morning that we would give whatever it is that you ask us to give, a penny, a dollar, whatever it is. And I know that we would be obedient to you and that the church would use that money to further your kingdom. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, y'all pass your papers down to the end over here, and you'll receive your grade on Wednesday. So go ahead and get those. Make sure you have your name on it, or you will receive a zero. Y'all make sure you get yours passed over, too. Adults, I'm just going to trust that you did it, because we're all adults here. So 50 for everybody, that an average, you know, 100 for the people that did it, zero for the people that didn't. So 50 for everybody. Thank y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for letting Big John be your pastor. Harvest Festival tonight from 4 to 8. See y'all then. Ready to break.